Welcome to Seamanship Courses Podcast, that covers a variety of maritime subjects, all of which relate to various topics that sit within the syllabi of maritime qualifications, including BML, Yacht Master, and Powerboat qualifications. 1603, yeah, you might get a copy of it in the the operations office, but the original is obliged to be held on this ship, and that's what you want to see. So if you can't see the boat for a few days, you're talking about a week from your
the first thing I need to do is visit the boat.
Yeah.
Okay.
If my phone rang, what day is it today? Thursday. And they said you can't visit till Monday, and that's 4 days away. I would do the MAIB stuff. I would, let's say, I couldn't get any of the paperwork, which would include the charts, the hydrographic charts of the river you're leaving, the Port of London chart, the hydrographic charts of Harwich, and all of the bylaws, and in betwixt all of these Admiralty charts. If you didn't have them, you wouldn't properly be able to start your appraisal. And you'll say to the owner, I'll go when everything is completed. Yep. The supplementary record of equipment lists everything with regard to safety and more on that ship. And it will say how many first aid kits should exist. It will say how many passenger, if you've got passengers, life jackets, how many crew life jackets, how many fire extinguishers, what means of fire suppressants there are, how many life rafts, anchors. So you'd use that as a checklist. That list of equipment should tally. And this is, you're still sat with the engineer or the officer of the watch or whatever he or she is, looking at this. You haven't stepped round the boat yet, and neither do the MCA. They look at it all before they start going on a tour. They want to see that supplementary list of equipment, a lot of which is 100% with regard to safety, tallies with the thing that must be on public display, the fire evacuation plan. You see those, Mark, the big thing that shows in green where all the buoyant and first aid kit sort of apparatus is, and in red where all the fire fighting equipment is. That list of supplementary should tally with the fire evacuation plan, and it should also tally with the ship's search and rescue document. So those are three things listing safety bits
location
and bobs
and location
that need, and the location of. The supplementary doesn't necessarily give you the location. The fire evacuation will give you the location.
Of the things,
and the search
there.
And rescue plan will give you the location.
But search and rescue would more be... It would mention fire. It would mention everything.
Yeah, yeah. Now, the search and rescue plan is the only document that exists on the ship.
And
is also shared with the local Coast Guard. And that exists. Yeah. So if this orange boat goes down, mayday, mayday, mayday. Look here, London VTS, who sit next to the Coast Guard, he'd pull out the search and rescue plan. And the search and rescue plan has a photograph of the boat, so the rescue services know what she looks like. It lists emergency contacts, such as the DP, the ownership of the vessel. And it tells, it's got in there where the fire extinguishers are, where the life jackets are,
first aid box.
Where the first aid boxes are. So it's like a synopsis of the fire evacuation plan for the Coast Guard. Right, so you think, right, if those three things are really hard to keep tallied, if they tally, good, you know, it's really reassuring.
Also mention to get the ship's log, the captain's log, to so you could use that as a checklist as well, while you're going through all the other checklists.
I would leave that till later
on,
to
probably
see that the crew have been doing the right thing. I would look at that to see how many sea miles the vessel had done if I didn't have a clear calculation of her range, if her going from this teacup to this speaker, because it should be in the log. She does that 5 days a week. The log, the you should have a log somewhere of how much fuel was put into her.
You'd want to know
because you want more than enough fuel to get you from A to B.
Okay.
Right. So you've got that, and then you've not looked at anything yet, and then you pick up that bit of a checklist and go to
start the bow.
The bow, if that's the bow. So you have a look, and as you're walking there, you're walking on the deck that is good.
In good order.
It's not flaking away.
Clean.
You're considerate. You're looking at the scuppers and kicking them. If they're hinged, they swing without squeaking. You get up to the bow. You check the anchor is there,
or
the anchors, if that is on the record. You're talking about the spurling pipes.
So there'd be two.
If you're taking that boat out across there, mm-hmm. and I've done this with yachts I've delivered, I'd say to the engineer, I want to see the chain. I want it flaked out onto the deck.
So I'd pull it all the way through.
Yeah.
And it should be attached to the bottom.
Yeah, it's got to be attached. And it's got to be long enough for the sea area that you're...
For the deepest area you'll pass, correct? Should be.
No.
No?
No, because, the sea... Because we'll be going out to... Let's say we're going out here. Mm-hmm. Or over here. It's rather too deep there. So, you may be adrift. You'll have to wait to drop that anchor until you're...
So you need to calculate.
You get blown over there.
This chain.
But you need to know how much you've got.
You need to know how much you've got. Will that be said anywhere? How long the chain is? Or would you have to do that yourself?
I have never seen that. I might have to ask the MCA.
Because we know the calculation. It's chain and rope.
Yeah, so if you're over 10 metres of water and you've got chain, how much chain would you want to drop?
It's times 4 chain, isn't it?
Yeah.
So you need 40 metres of chain.
Yeah, it's a lot of chain, isn't it?
And it's times 6 for rope and chain.
Yeah. Okay. All right, so you start the bow and you check like that with that much diligence and you walk aft. And anything that moves, you move it, whether it's a scupper. If it's a salvage engine that soaked me to your entertainment a few times, you'd want to see that working.
Mm-hmm.
And you wouldn't want it to blast my glasses off.
And stand at the front.
And soak me. You'd want it
to crack on, mate.
You want it to fire up and have a foot valve, like he. Mm-hmm. Any hatches that you walk past?
If they're able to open, you should open them.
And they should fasten without you. You want everything to be malleable.
In the time of need, you don't want to be messing
around. So you can twizzle it. Surely you move after doing all of that, opening every door, kicking every scupper until you get aft. You might have a kedge anchor at the stern.
Yeah.
It should be on your list. Anything that starts up, you'd look at. If you're walking past your life rafts, you'd look at them for their date. The life raft will have a date, and the HRU, hydrostatic release unit, will have a date as well. Mm-hmm. You want to see that in evidence, and that's you exhausted the deck. Right, so you exhaust with your checklist what is on that deck, and you want to be happy with everything that's on there before you go into the wheelhouse. Thanks for listening to our podcast. We'll speak again next week. Thank you.